Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texans assistants met with the media yesterday. I would say one of the assistants that has fans most intrigued heading into the season is Tim Kelly, former tight ends coach who's now the offensive coordinator. He was asked about Deshaun Watson and what it's like coordinating an offense with Deshaun Watson as the centerpiece.
We always want to put our players in a position where they're going to be successful. Fortunately for us, Deshaun's a great player and he can do a lot of really good things, you know, in a wide variety of skill sets. So, as far as that's concerned, you know, tailoring things to him, he can do it all. So we just got to make sure we put him in a position to be successful.
Do you think that the Texans in his first 2 years here, Seth, have done a good job of tailoring things to Deshaun Watson?
I think they could have done better. I think that especially when you look at some of the things that Pat Mahomes does with their backfield action and some of the deception and some of the motion that they use, I don't think the Texans have done nearly as much. The question then becomes, all right, is it because they're not capable of doing it or is there another reason? I think at least part of it is that they haven't trusted their receivers to be able to handle as much. Like in terms of pre-snap motion, sometimes it's you try it and guys are making mental errors and things are getting screwed up more than it's helping you and you don't do it. So is that because the receivers aren't smart enough? Or is that because they're not coaching it as well? That's why I have no idea. I have no idea who to blame there. And DeAndre has used pre-snap motion plenty in his career at various times. He's smart enough. He's not going to be the issue with that. It's going to be with other guys. I think it's probably the fault lies in both parties. I think the coaches need to better at coaching it up at times, and whether it's O'Brien or Tim Kelly or anybody else, but that also the receivers and Deshaun Watson need to be better at it too.
Am I misremembering or seeing it wrong that I feel like those six games he started his rookie year, they were doing more things that felt Deshaun friendly. They were doing things that felt like they were watching some Clemson tape during the week. Oh boy, this is what he does really well. They were using a lot of that pre-snap motion and a lot of the
run
deception.
Pass options and all of that. Right.
And then they stopped using it.
Well, last year, it was the very first handoff. Yeah. They fumbled on a zone read. Like, it was a genuine zone read where Deshaun was trying to decide whether to give the ball to Lamar Miller or pull it out. And right there, it fumbled. And it almost felt like you could almost feel Bill O'Brien cinching up on the sideline and probably starting to get really nervous about just turnovers. Coaches get so terrified of turnovers that it like from that point on, for a good chunk of the season, they rarely ran genuine read option out of the quarterback. It's not like it was in 2011 where all of a sudden it's taken over the league or anything, but it's a valuable tool to not let those defensive ends know whether Deshaun Watson is holding onto the ball or not. And it really held them back, I think. The amount of deception that they used in the backfield wasn't nearly what it could have been. And it makes things so easy. So I understand they had to protect him and his ribs for a good chunk of the season. They just need to incorporate more of the Clemson heavy stuff. You know what I worried about last year? This is what coaches do. There's this tendency to say, well, the rookie year, we're going to do a bunch of stuff that's easier for the quarterback and simplify it, do stuff he's comfortable with. Then year two, year three, then we're going to teach him how to be a NFL quarterback, right? Then we're going to make things needlessly complex, and then we're going to try to pretend we're Tom Brady. It doesn't have to be that fast. Like, you don't have to ramp up. You don't have to ramp up the process to where all of a sudden in year two, you're expecting a quarterback to be operating like he's in year 10. You know who wasn't very sophisticated in year two? Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's offense now compared to what it was the first several years is night and day in terms of complexity. It took time to work into that. So I think really understanding like what Deshaun Watson's strengths are and playing to those strengths is vital this year. And I think they learned some lessons last year.
Yeah, it's funny because if you looked at Deshaun statistically, Seth, he's the first quarterback in NFL history to have a season where he threw for over 4,000 yards, passed for over 25 touchdowns, ran for over 500 yards, and ran for over 5 touchdowns. The first in the history of the league to do that in a regular season. So you would look at those statistics and you would go, wow, it would appear that the Texans are doing a pretty good job of building an offense around Deshaun Watson. And then you go and watch and you go, just because Deshaun Watson has the burden of this offense on his shoulders on every snap doesn't mean they're building an offense around Deshaun Watson. It means that the Texans' entire success offensively is built on the magic of Deshaun Watson being able to escape whatever chaos the poorly constructed offensive line and the rest of the offense is creating around him.
And that's, as somebody says, how about that whack-ass O-line not providing time for those
plays?
Well, but there's two sides to that. It's because running those plays helps the offensive line, too. Like, there have been times in Deshaun's rookie year where people convince themselves, like, John and I used to get into big arguments about this, John McClain and I, about whether the offensive line had genuinely improved or not when Deshaun took over. They didn't actually improve, but their job got a whole lot easier when young Deshaun was there as a running threat. Just like in Carolina, Cam Newton makes guys like, Matt Khalil, look a lot better than they actually are because he's such a threat in the running game and he introduces so much uncertainty to the defense that he makes that offensive line better.
So these young coaches, these wunderkind coaches, to use your word, there's an article about it on The Ringer, actually, talking about the copycat league that the NFL is, and the thing that's getting copycatted right now is Sean McVay. Everybody wants the next Sean McVay. It's why Freddie Kitchens and Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor, Cliff Kingsbury, who was not successful at Texas Tech, it's why these guys all have jobs right now as head coaches in the NFL. How would you feel if the Texans had one of these sort of new age, new wave quarterback whisperer wunderkinds as a head coach right now?
It's funny because I don't know how new age Sean McVay is, other than he's really good at his job.
Like, he happens to be 33.
They do a lot of old school stuff. They do a lot of Kubiak type stuff. Like, they run the ball with a quarterback under center a lot, and that sets up a lot of their play action. They do a lot of stuff that I would like to see Deshaun do in transition and doing more stuff under center. And I think as he gets more comfortable doing that, I think that I like that. As far as going out and finding a guy like from a specific school, I think that's been shown over and over again, like how foolhardy it can be. Like, if you go out and try to get a Belichick guy, okay, the vast majority of times it hasn't worked out. If you go out and try to get a guy from a certain type of offense or anything, it's just flat out, the guy's got to be good. Okay, look at Gary Kubiak offenses. I guess, like, has Rick Dennison been awesome as an offensive coordinator?
No.
He's had some success here and there, a smattering of it. Whereas Kyle Shanahan, I think most people would agree, has really proven himself to be a pretty bright and innovative dude using a lot of the Kubiak model. It just comes down to who is that guy. Where in Houston, it's a lot less glamorous because you're taking this guy, Tim Kelly, who we're taking it on the word of Bill O'Brien, apparently, that, hey, he's a really bright young guy. Like, all right, well, we still haven't seen a good offense, like a really genuinely good offense, since you've been here in Houston. So it's hard to feel like, oh, yeah, the homegrown guy is the guy that's going to be the next great thing.
Well, and it's tough, too, with O'Brien's evaluations because, look, we're coming off a weekend where O'Brien did a press conference and he was gushing about Mike Devlin like he was Dante Scarnecchia. And Mike Devlin may very well be a good offensive line coach. We're not in the building over there. I have no idea. I'm not in the meetings. I'm only at practice watching him do drills with his team. I know that's only the tip of the iceberg, but the fact of the matter is his position group has been among the worst in the league for 4 years. So if that guy's a great position coach, heading into his fifth year here now, how am I to trust the evaluation of any of the assistant coaches?
Of the offensive line, but also of, okay, so if he's a great offensive line coach, then Bill O'Brien, does he accept any responsibility for the bad offensive line
play?
Like, in the personnel that are there?
Right.
Because you've gotten, like, you've run two GMs out of here. Like, so you obviously have some degree of control over these things. Has it mostly been, like, are you just simply blaming that Rick Smith and Brian Gain for taking bad offensive linemen? Did Brandon Brooks leave because Rick Smith didn't think he was a good football player?
Right.
Or was it a Bill O'Brien thing? I don't know. That part of it befuddles me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.